When I found sport and sport sort of suited my qualities, it was immediate acceptance for me. What set me apart from a lot of my peers in my younger days is that actually I followed all my dreams. I look back and think, I can't believe I did all of that. I mean, it was constant.
Hello, everyone. I'm Manav Bhatia, and welcome to The Sit Down, the podcast that explores the mindset, the motivations, and the opinions of elite athletes associated with Sportendors. Sportendors is a revolutionary sports sponsorship platform where athletes and brands match with each other for commercial opportunities. Our company's purpose is to empower people, and today we have Joel Firin, who is a Team GB athlete and an Olympic medal winner. How are you, Joel?
I'm very, very well, thank you. Thank you for having me. Excited to be on the show.
Oh, love the volume in your energy. There's so much excitement.
Yeah, that's sort of me. That's me in a nutshell. Like I'm an upbeat person. I'm always trying to do the most with whatever we got. So there's always energy put into whatever I'm doing. I'm always trying to make it the best as possible. Just like today, you know, we're going to try and make a good podcast and you know, give some good information and good insights and hopefully help the future careers of many young athletes.
That's brilliant, Joel. I want to start off, first of all, by understanding a bit about how you got into your sport. And look, it's very important to also know a bit about the environment you came from. What are your roots? Because that's always very interesting for me to know.
So where did I come from? My dad is a Jamaican man, come from a very humble background. He moved to the UK where he met my mother. Together, you know, they started a restaurant and my mum was a nurse. And, you know, he wanted me to be a chef, actually. My dad was hopes that I'd be his follow-on chef, and you know, and instead I turned to an athlete. I was working with him from a very young age. So I was working with my father from the age of probably about 13. I was the waiter in the restaurant and sort of just like, you know, housekeeping stuff. And I did that all the way till I was 16. But the reality is it gave me a very, very good work ethic. School-wise, I wasn't really the best. Like, you know, I'm dyslexic, got mild ADHD. So, you know, school was a bit tricky for me. It was a bit of a struggle. And I think when I found sport and sport sort of suited my qualities, it was just, you know, it was immediate acceptance for me and just something that I wanted to do more and be more of. So I did sort of like amateur sport up until I was about 19. Then I moved to Loughborough where I wanted to become professional. And 2 years later, I was a professional. And then we crack on from there.
Was there some particular influence? You know, you said that from 18 onwards, you started getting to that elite level. Was there some sort of influence behind you that that took you to pursuing this full time as a career even?
Well, I think it was the reality that I was becoming quite good and I could potentially be successful in this. I think it was that sort of like, actually, I've got one life, I've got one opportunity, I'll never be in this moment again particularly. And sort of my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, she was my one of my main encouragers and she's been my support sort of my whole career. And she was like, you know, we should make the step. Let's see how far we can take this. She's seen how passionate I was about it. So for me, it was the fact that I could potentially be good. It was just potential. But I think growing up, you know, there wasn't many things that I could potentially be good at. I didn't have that sort of that constant, you know, you can do this, you can do that in my life. It was kind of like, you know, what can I do? And this was one of the things that I showed potential in. So me and my missus, we went full board and we made something happen.
Brilliant. I see where you're coming from. You realize that this is your calling. This is something which you could excel at. That's your philosophy in life. Go after something full board with 150% and, you know, and then, you know, do it every day. There's perseverance. And, you know, I want to ask you, it's interesting the kind of elite athlete you are. Look, sports people, of course, they get into the sport for their own dreams, but most of the time, you know, when they represent their country, they are they are living other people's dream. You know, they're living their family's dreams, they're living their coaches' dreams. And you are someone who's unique because you are at an elite level in two sports. So just thinking about how you manage double the sacrifice, you know, double the taking on the responsibility and the pressure, double the hard work. Can you tell us about the two sports that you're into, Joel?
Yes, so obviously I'm a bobsledder, which I have an Olympic medal in. I'm also a sub 1000 meter sprinter, which is sort of, you know, I'm the fifth fastest quick British person in history. And yeah, you know what? It was a lot of dedication. I look back and think, I can't believe I did all of that. I mean, it was constant. There was no off. I mean, I'd have maybe 2, maybe 3 weeks off training in a year. This is including Christmas and holidays. So it was constant. It was absolutely constant. I think that, you know, again, you know, there was a constant battle with myself trying to prove my own worth to myself and who I was. Like I said, I wasn't good at a lot or didn't get a lot of praise for being good at a lot growing up. So I think the moment that I got a sniff that I could do something, again, you know, my wife supported me in it, and sort of every day of my life went to being the best human I could possibly be. And it wasn't about times or medals or anything like that. It was just about me making one step forward every single day. Every single day, making sure I'm better than the man that I was yesterday. If it's physically, if it's mentally, if it's spiritually, however it comes, making sure I'm continuing to grow. And honestly, when I got to a point where I look back and seeing how far I'd actually come, just taking that process, for me, it was really mind blowing, because I still see myself as, you know, as a teenager that wasn't very sure of his life or what he could achieve or what he could do with himself. So every day I'm aware of how fortunate and how blessed I am to have been able to make this walk and do the things that I've done and give myself such a worth that I didn't think I would ever have.
Absolutely, Joel. And your approach of being so dedicated to your sport, being better every day, has obviously led to you to become very successful. You are one of those, it's a very small percentage of the world that actually have a medal at an Olympics event, and that's you. And then even the record you spoke of, In athletics, where I don't know, a very few handful of people in the world would have a sub 10 record of running 100 meters. So you want to tell us about some of these key experiences in your life? Maybe start with, Sochi 2014, you know, the 4-man bobsleigh event. Really like to know about that.
Yeah, like what was it? It was I was very young. I was very young. I was 25, I think, turning 25 or 24 years old. So I was young. I had a great support team around me. So that is when I look back again at the time as a young man, you're sort of, you know, you're confident, probably a bit cocky. You know, you feel like you know what you're doing. But I had an amazing support team around me, an amazing team to work with, who made my transition from summer sports to winter sport as smooth as possible. And, you know, doing winter sports isn't an easy thing. You know, it requires so much courage. It's dangerous. It's a dangerous sport. It's freezing.
Right.
And there's so many obstacles. The obstacles are relentless in terms of just being able to warm up, getting your sled to the line, preparing sleds, the weather, you know, it could be a blizzard outside and the show goes on. So, it was constant obstacles, something that I wasn't used to. You know, track and field athletes are very precious. You know, they everything is their way or the highway. It's that kind of party, okay, where bobsleigh was very, very different. And yeah, and I think, again, you know, I was just grateful to be there. I mean, at this point, it was my first Olympics. I'm just, okay, you know, any young guy from Coventry. And here I am at the top of Sochi with my Union Jack on and my lion on my chest and my Olympic rings. It was the experience was unlike, for me, that was like a real milestone in, again, the one step in front of the other journey.
Okay. And if I'm not wrong, you actually transitioned into bobsleigh? Because you started off as a track field athlete, and then I think it was your coach that asked you to follow him.
So my coach was is from Russia, and he knew about bobsleigh and he knew about my skill set because he'd been coaching me. And he made me do bobsleigh, actually. I didn't even want to do it. He made me do it. And even when I started it, it was very, very hard. It was a hard thing to do, and I didn't want to finish it. And but we managed to get me through that difficult period. He managed to get me through the hard part and actually make such a career out of it. But yeah, I already was competing for Great Britain in athletics. At that point in 2012, I started competing in both sports, which made me very, very busy, but again, made me a valuable asset to sort of both teams, both summer and winter teams.
And even today, are you working on both the sports collectively, Joel?
No, not anymore. I've calmed down now. I'm more of a support unit for British bobsleigh. At the minute, they're not a funded sport. So we're making sure we try and put them back on the map till I make my transition out of sport. But no, I don't run the both. I do more coaching and mentoring and stuff and help young athletes achieve their goals, and also still go out. And we're going to get a couple of world championship medals next year and stuff like that. So we're going to make sure we finish on a nice high.
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. There's something interesting I saw. So in the morning while doing my research for this interview, I was on Instagram and I saw this picture of you surrounded by a lot of school children. And I know from speaking with you before that you love being the bridge for children to help them and inspire them and, you know, to share your lessons with them so that they have it easier. So do you want to tell us about, the coaching side of things?
Yeah, so I work with a charity, a Speedworks charity. It started off as for coaching, and then actually it's transitioned into me just helping young people just generally across the board, giving them, helping them with what they need, what they want to achieve in life, how they can achieve stuff in life. And I think for me, the massive thing is that actually when you grow up in a city or sort of like a less privileged area, you don't know that all these things are for you. You don't know the world is yours and you can do everything. You only know what you can see. You can only understand the stuff you can relate to. So it's important for me to go back into those communities and just let them know that this is where I also came from. This is where I came from. This is how my life started. And actually giving them the encouragement to be able to have the courage to follow their dreams. And I think what set me apart from a lot of my peers in my younger days is that actually I followed all my dreams. I followed everything. Everything that I had a hunch, I went for it. I went to see what it is, and I didn't half do it. I did it wholeheartedly. And just giving them the courage to do that and believe in themselves, for them to just live the best life possible. It's so easy for them to get caught in a cycle, to feel that, you know, their only way out is this, to feel like they only have certain options. And I want to do the best to show them that actually, if you set your mind to it, you can be anywhere you want to be. It takes perseverance, it takes consistency, and it takes hard work. But it's your life at the end of the day, and helping them get through their troubles and their hurdles, their obstacles.
That's very powerful, Joel. And a lot of young children will be listening to this podcast. I'm sure they'll take away from the ethic that you've talked about, you know, the persevering everyday ethic. So that's really nice, Joel. I wanted to ask you, look, we're a sponsorship agency, Sport Endorse, and I would want to know about a bit about your experience working with sponsors in the past. There are all kinds of services which elite athletes offer, modeling for products, doing keynote speeches at events, especially someone like you with experience at Olympics and being a British, British athlete. And then there's social media promotion as well. Do you want to tell us your encounter with some of these events in the past in your background?
Yeah, so sponsorship's always a difficult one. So obviously, you know, finding, I guess it's just having the right people around you and being able to have the right product for yourself. Like as an elite athlete, there's been times where I've got myself into stuff that actually taken away from my sport. So by giving this all my energy, it's taken away. So, you know, it's actually important to have people like you guys, like the middlemen, to be able to help the athlete continue to focus on achieving their goals, because honestly, that's what gets them there in the first place. That's what opens a conversation, and never to steal away from that. For me, obviously, there's so many different stuff. Like, you know, you can get free stuff from Instagram, and there's that sort of way. And you know, you post their stuff. Or I like talking. I'm a chatterbox. So I always am pulled to the talking stuff and the communication type stuff. And but yeah, there's, for me, you know, you got to just be brave. And I feel like you should go and try everything. I remember my first time I was speaking somewhere and I was terrified and I had all my notes and then I forgot them all and, you know, and whatever. And you just sort of, you learn to go with it. And actually for me, obviously, if I was talking to young people or whatever, or I would say, you know, go and try everything. Be brave. Go out there. And the same as you do with your career, you go out, you see what it is. And when you've done it, you know what it is. When you've signed your first deal and you liked it or you didn't like it, you know. But I think it's definitely important to have sort of those good people in the middle to help limit the options, I guess, and help the athlete understand expectation, what's expected from them and stuff like that. So, but yeah, my experiences are, it's been great for me. I'm probably in my sport, I'm very, very well connected. Some of the sponsorships have turned into partnerships, which have turned into, you know, you're literally just part of now companies and stuff like that. And it's, for me, it's a massive part of sort of who I am and also my transition out of sport. So it's a really, really big deal for me. And I love it all, to be honest with you.
And I understand you were saying that, you know, the middlemen are supposed to help you filter through the options, because an athlete only has so much time. They can only probably take on 2 to 3 commitments, you know, a year. And I understand what you're saying, because ultimately it's all about the fit, the kind of company you want to associate with, because ultimately there is that whole need of growing, you know, from starting off as a brand ambassador to becoming a partner of the brand, becoming a promoter and advocate of the company. So I like how you've described, and I think all the sponsors listening to this are probably very clear about your favorite kind of service as a brand ambassador would probably be those speaking engagements. And if I'm not wrong, there are a whole lot of YouTube videos, aren't there, Joel, about you reviewing.
I love cars. Big car fan. If any car guys listening, I am a massive, massive car fan. So yeah, that was the first deal that I made myself, was with Emerald House of Cars, this car company. And I told them, I said, this is who I am. You know, right. I love cars, but I don't want an ordinary sponsorship. I want something different. I want to have a change. And then, you know, every 2 weeks, they supplied me with a new car to review. And, you know, we got really good YouTube traction. They sold a lot of cars, so they were happy. You know, they got good sort of interaction from sort of my sort of people from my community and stuff like that, crossing over. It was a fantastic little period of my life, actually. My son loved it. He loved it, because obviously every day we got sports cars, we got trucks, we got this, you know. It's like dad's dropping me to school every day. But that was something I arranged myself. And again, I had to have the courage to go out to say, this is what I want to do. I had to have the courage to get rejected, because there was rejection in there. There was people that were like, yeah, no chance, no chance, no chance. And then it turned out super well in a period of my life that I look back on and like, God, I did that. Do you know what I mean? That was an exciting thing to do. And lovely. Look, I really, really enjoyed that period.
That's superb how, you know, we're getting to know about your interests and combining it with, you know, a professional approach, which is actually helping companies, you know, increase their conversions, get their name out. So that's an amazing case study for the sponsors listening, Joel. So that's a really nice one. I think segue from that would be really to get you to probably tell us a bit about, you know, you're a full-time athlete. We already covered how for so long, for 15 years, you've been at it at two sports at an elite level. What are your interests outside of sports? You know, are there other sports that you also like? And just tell us a bit about yourself, Joel Fearon, not the sportsman, but the other side.
Well, I think Joel Fearon is, there's no not the sportsman. It is what it is. You know, I am, okay. I'm massively combined. It all crosses over. But yeah, so I am, like you guys know, I'm very passionate about helping the next generation. Every sponsorship or support unit I have with me right now is about helping the next generation. So anybody that invested in me is investing in me, also investing in the next generation. So that is a big part of my life. It's going to be a big part of my life going forward. And I'm trying to build something that creates a whole new, different mindset, different background athletes going into, you know, the next five Olympics. I want some athletes out there that I've worked with and have managed to achieve their pinnacle in sport. Apart from that, I'm a massive family man. I have four children. I've got three boys and a little princess daughter at the bottom, and I've got my wife. And that is where the rest of my... There's no time left anyway. You know, running two sports side by side can make me very, very busy. But if there is time, it goes immediately back to my family. Sort of my wife is my massive support unit. All my boys that, you know, they're sort of... My oldest son, he's big in his football, loves it. And he sort of watched my career, been there sort of, you know, my whole sporting life, he's been part of it. So I am a massive family man. So if you don't see me doing some kind of sport or doing some kind of next generation promotional thing, you'll see me out with the family. You'll see me at Waterworld. You'll see me on the bikes. You'll see me in the fair. You'll see me at Dreta Manor. That's the kind of thing I would be doing. And I don't have a lot of people around me, because obviously being as busy as I am, you know, it means that you don't have a lot of time to invest in lots and lots of friendships. But I do invest in my family.
That's fantastic. That's a great side of you that we also know now. Thank you so much, Joel. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you for having me. If I had one word of advice, because there might be some young people listening, my young people, be courageous in your life. Don't let fear stop you from doing anything. Go out and live your very, very best life. But yeah, thank you for having me.
Thanks so much, Joel. This is indeed very nice. And all the young generation are totally going to walk off empowered and encouraged.
Thank you.
I'd really like to thank you, Joel, for taking out the time for us today, for telling us your story. And to all the people who are listening, you can actually follow Joel's journey on Instagram at JoelFearon6. To all the sponsors who are tuned in, Joel is available for sponsorships and for partnerships on the Sport Endorse platform. So get your inquiries out to Sport Endorse via social media or via website.